delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my ever friend.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now, let's begin this Wednesday Gathering with singing hymn number 16. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Putting Aside Self and Seeking God. The hymns are 16, 282, and 153. I shall be reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Keaton Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Isaiah. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him who wields it back and forth? Luke. He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and were confident that they were righteous, that they were upright and in right standing with God, and scorned and made nothing of all the rest of men. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand ostentatiously and began to pray thus before and with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, extortioners, robbers, swindlers, unrighteous in heart and life, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I gain. But the tax collector, merely standing at a distance, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be favorable, be gracious, be merciful to me, the especially wicked sinner that I am. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, forgiven, and made upright and in right standing with God, rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. First Chronicles. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name and those attributes which that name denotes. Luke. And as he was going into one village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they raised up their voices and called, Jesus, Master, take pity and have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go at once and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cured and made clean. Then one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking and praising God with a loud voice. And he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was there no one found to return and to recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this alien? And he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored you to health. Psalms. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him grateful thanks and make the voice of his praise be heard. 1 Thessalonians. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married, and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph. And he came to her and said, Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? Then the angel said to her, With God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Then Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. And Mary said, My soul magnifies and extols the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the low station and humiliation of his handmaiden. For behold, from now on, all generations of all ages will call me blessed and declare me happy and to be envied. For he who is almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, to be venerated in his purity, majesty, and glory. Exodus. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Psalms. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And from Science and Health, how empty are our conceptions of deity? We admit theoretically that God is good, omnipotent, omnipresent, infinite, and then we try to give information to this infinite mind. We plead for unmerited pardon and for a liberal outpouring of benefactions. Are we really grateful for the good already received? Then we shall avail ourselves of the blessings we have, and thus be fitted to receive more. Gratitude is much more than a verbal expression of thanks. Action expresses more gratitude than speech. If we are ungrateful for life, truth, and love, and yet return thanks to God for all blessings, we're insincere and incur the sharp censure our master pronounces on hypocrites. In such a case, the only acceptable prayer is to put the finger on the lips and remember our blessings. While the heart is far from divine truth and love, we cannot conceal the ingratitude of barren lives. We never need to despair of an honest heart. But there is little hope for those who come only spasmodically face to face with their wickedness and then seek to hide it. Their prayers are indexes which do not correspond with their character. They hold secret fellowship with sin, and such externals are spoken of by Jesus as like unto whited sepulchres, full of all uncleanness. If a man, though apparently fervent and prayerful, is impure and therefore insincere, what must be the comment upon him? If he reached the loftiness of his prayer, there would be no occasion for comment. If we feel the aspiration, humility, gratitude, and love which our words express, this God accepts. And it is wise not to try to deceive ourselves or others, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Professions and audible prayers are like charity in one respect. They cover the multitude of sins. Praying for humility with whatever fervency of expression does not always mean a desire for it. If we turn away from the poor, we're not ready to receive the reward of him who blesses the poor. We confess to having a very wicked heart and ask that it may be laid bare before us. But do we not already know more of this heart than we are willing to have our neighbors see? We should examine ourselves and learn what is the affection and purpose of the heart. For in this way only can we learn what we honestly are. If a friend informs us of a fault, do we listen patiently to the rebuke and credit what is said? Do we not rather give thanks that we are not as other men? During many years, the author has been most grateful for merited rebuke. The progress of truth confirms its claims, and our Master confirmed his words by his works. His healing power evoked denial, ingratitude, and betrayal arising from sensuality. Of the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed, but one returned to give God thanks, that is, to acknowledge the divine principle which had healed him. Millions of unprejudiced minds, simple seekers for truth, weary wanderers athirst in the desert, are waiting and watching for rest and drink. Give them a cup of cold water in Christ's name, and never fear the consequences. What if the old dragon should send forth a new flood to drown the Christ idea? He can neither drown your voice with its roar, nor again sink the world into the deep waters of chaos and old night. In this age, the earth will help the woman. The spiritual idea will be understood. Those ready for the blessing you impart will give thanks. The waters will be pacified, and Christ will command the wave. We worship spiritually only as we cease to worship materially. Spiritual devoutness is the soul of Christianity. Worshipping through the medium of matter is paganism. Judaic and other rituals are but types and shadows of true worship. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If God were understood instead of being merely believed, this understanding would establish health. The accusation of the rabbis, "He made himself the Son of God," was really the justification of Jesus, for to the Christian, the only true spirit is godlike. This thought incites to a more exalted worship and self-abnegation. Spiritual perception brings out the possibilities of being, destroys reliance on aught but God, and so makes man the image of his Maker in deed and in truth. We should consecrate existence not to the unknown God whom we ignorantly worship, but to the eternal Builder, the everlasting Father, to the life which mortal sense cannot impair, nor mortal belief destroy. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind? This command includes much. even the surrender of all merely material sensation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place. Are you willing to leave all for Christ, for truth, and so be counted among sinners? No. Do you really desire to attain this point? No. Then why make long prayers about it and ask to be Christians, since you do not care to tread in the footsteps of our dear Master? If unwilling to follow his example, why pray with the lips that you may be partakers of his nature? Consistent prayer is the desire to do right. Prayer means that we desire to walk and will walk in the light so far as we receive it, even though with bleeding footsteps, and that waiting patiently on the Lord, we will leave our real desires to be rewarded by him. Seeking is not sufficient. It is striving that enables us to enter. Spiritual attainments open the door to a higher understanding of the divine life. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.